Today is April the 30th. Today, David hears, "You are the man." "You're the man" has become a catchphrase to compliment someone. Today, David hears that catchphrase as we read 2 Samuel 11 to 12. It doesn't quite mean the same thing as it means today. 2 Samuel 11, 1, we're told that all of the events that are about to happen happened when the kings went out to war, when all of those nations who were surrounding Israel sought to defeat them. David sent out his army, but he himself stayed in Jerusalem. In 11:2, he sees a beautiful young woman in the evening bathing. Understand what that means. Bathing is primarily a ceremonially it's a ceremonial act of purification. This woman has just undergone her period. When the bleeding stops, she is to wait for 7 days. Then she takes an offering to the temple, and she herself bathes for purification. Of course, 7 days after her period puts her right at the beginning of her ovulation cycle. David sees her, desires her, calls for her, essentially rapes her, and sends her back home. Now count with me, 2 weeks later, she misses her period. She sends word to David, "I'm pregnant." David realized what's happened. So he sends word to the army. The army is way to the north. That's about another week. He sends for Uriah. Uriah comes back home. That's another week. For a few days, David tries to convince Uriah to go into his wife. He refuses. So he sends Uriah back to the front line with a note to Joab saying, "Put this man in the center of all of the fighting and then draw back from him." Takes another week for Uriah to get there. Uriah then, he is killed, and Joab sends word to David. It takes a week for the message to get to David. Bathsheba finds out that her husband has died. She goes through 40 days of mourning. That is 5.5 weeks. Then David marries her. This is about 11 to 12 weeks at a minimum after David has gone to her and she's discovered that she's pregnant. David thinks he's got away with something. She's just completed her first trimester. She begins to show right away. 6 months later, or less, a baby is born who has gone full term. David thinks he's got away with something. He hasn't. Nathan the prophet goes into David. He tells David a parable, a story, but he tells him as if it's true, of a very rich man who has everything he could ever want. He has a field full of sheep, but instead, when a visitor comes, he looks to his neighbor's house and sees that his neighbor has one little sheep that he treats dearly. He takes that sheep, kills it, and offers it to his visitor. David's incensed. He jumps from his throne with his sword swinging around his head, and he says, "Bring the man to me right here. I'll deal with this." And Nathan says, "David, you are the man. You're the man, David." It's not a compliment. It's a condemnation. David realizes what he's done. As a result, he writes Psalm 51, telling of his deep repentance for what he's done. today. Let's read 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12.
In the spring of that year, when the kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent message to David, saying, "I'm pregnant." Then David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent him to David. When Uriah arrived, David asked him how Joab and the army were getting along and how the war was progressing. Then he told Uriah, "Go on home and relax." David even sent a gift to Uriah after he had left the palace, but Uriah didn't go home. He slept that night at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. When David heard that Uriah had not gone home, he summoned him and asked, "What's the matter? Why didn't you go home last night after being away so long?" Uriah replied, "The Ark of the armies of Israel and Judah are living in tents, and Joab and my master's men are camping in open fields. How could I go home to wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear that I would never do such a thing." "Well, stay here today," David told him, "and tomorrow you may return to the army." So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next. Then David invited him to dinner and got him drunk. But even then, he couldn't get Uriah to go home to his wife. Again, he slept at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. So the next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and gave it to Uriah to deliver. The letter instructed Joab, "Station Uriah on the front lines where the battle is the fiercest. Then pull back so that he will be killed." So Joab assigned Uriah to a spot close to the city wall where he knew the enemy's strongest men were fighting. And when the enemy soldiers came out of the city to fight, Uriah the Hittite was killed along with several other Israelite soldiers. Then Joab sent a battle report to David. He told his messenger, "Report all the news of the battle to the king, but he might get angry when you ask, 'Why did the troops go so close to the city? Didn't they know there would be shooting from the walls? Wasn't Abimelech, the son of Gideon, killed at Thebes by a woman who threw a millstone down from the wall? Why would you get so close to the wall?' Then tell him Uriah the Hittite was killed too." So the messenger went to Jerusalem and gave a complete report to David. "The enemy came out against us in the open fields," he said, "and as we chased them back to the city gate, the archers on the wall shot arrows at us. Some of the king's men were killed, including Uriah the Hittite." "Well, tell Joab not to be discouraged," David said. "The sword devours this one today and that one tomorrow. Fight harder next time and conquer the city." When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. When the period of mourning was over, David sent for her and brought her to the palace, and she became one of his wives. Then she gave birth to a son, but the Lord was displeased with what David had done. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb and grew it up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. David was furious. "As surely as the Lord lives," he vowed, "any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. From this time on, your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel." Then David confessed to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "Yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord, by doing this, your child will die." After Nathan returned to his home, the Lord sent a deadly illness to the child of David and Uriah's wife. David begged God to spare the child. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. The elders of his household pleaded with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. Then on the seventh day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill, they said. What drastic thing will he do when we tell him that the child is dead? When David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. "Is the child dead?" he asked. "Yes," they replied. "He is dead." Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food and ate. His advisors were amazed. "We don't understand you," they told him. "While the child was still living, you wept and refused to eat. But now that the child is dead, you have stopped your mourning and are eating again." David replied, "I fasted and wept while the child was alive, for I said, 'Perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me.'" Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and slept with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and David named him Solomon. The Lord loved the child and sent word to Nathan the prophet that they should name him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded. Meanwhile, Joab was fighting against Rabbah, the capital of Ammon, and he captured the royal fortifications. Joab sent messengers to tell David, "I have fought against Rabbah and captured its water supply. Now bring the rest of the army and capture the city. Otherwise, I will capture it and get credit for the victory." So David gathered the rest of the army and went to Rabbah, and he fought against it and captured it. David removed the crown of the king's head, and it was placed on his own head. The crown was made of gold and set with gems, and it weighed 75 pounds. David took a vast amount of plunder from the city. He also made slaves of the people of Rabbah and forced them to labor with saws, iron picks, and iron axes, and to work in the brick kilns. That is how he dealt with all the people of the Ammonite towns. Then David and all the army returned to Jerusalem.
Scripture reading from the New Living Translation by Emily Herrera. Let's Find Out Together has a companion podcast called Salty Saints. Zach Kelly and I discuss apologetics, theology, and scripture. Look for it, Salty Saints, on your favorite podcast app. Tomorrow, we'll see David's woes.